Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for your time. That was the legendary rap duo, Pyramid Me Rakim, with their 1992 hit, Don't Sweat the Technique, the title track from their album of the same name. Hello, everyone. If you're just tuning in, this is this marvelous radio show brought to you live on Blog Talk Radio. It's 3:07 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time right here. You're live with the D-Man, Derek Barrett. Just want to let all our Middle Georgian people know that I hope they're enjoying this wonderful sunshine right now. There's a good chance of isolated showers. It's just a small chance, but a chance nevertheless. It's slightly cloudy, not partly cloudy, but slightly cloudy. You can still see the sun, but you have very thin clouds. It's 85 degrees. We're at the high today right now at 85 degrees. The low tonight is going to be 65 degrees and round out the weekend for Sunday's forecast for the weather. Sunday is going to be 88 degrees and sunny, 88 for the high and 67 for the low. It's still going to be sunny so far that we know, but it's going to be a slight chance of rain because it's very thin clouds, but there will be some showers later on in the week, especially for Monday. So those who have to work Monday, get your umbrellas handy. Just get your umbrellas handy. Just want to let you know all about that. 3:08, and there's been a lot of hot news, some bad news. I guess I just wanted to get into the story. Of course, you know, I've been talking about news of we lost some people, wonderful people. Former Bibb County Sheriff Jerry Modena died 2 days ago at the age of 73. Thursday morning. 3 days ago at the age of 73. Jerry Modena left the Bibb County Sheriff's Office more than 2 years ago. He was succeeded by our current Bibb County Sheriff David Davis. But it never left him. So 3 days before the sheriff's death, he was grilling his successor, Sheriff David Davis, about how early retirements would affect the force. That he remained committed to the sheriff's office all the way to the end, said Sheriff David Davis, who last visited ailing Modena on Monday. Modena, former sheriff Jerry Modena, who was 73, died about 10 p.m. Wednesday night at his home, according to Bibb County Coroner Leon Jones. Coroner Jones said that he apparently died of natural causes. Who has known the veteran lawman since the late 70s. Jones added that Jerry Modena, he was firm but fair. Modena's funeral will be at 11 a.m. Monday at Maplewhite Baptist Church, with visitation from 3 to 6 p.m. Sunday, also at the church, which is located on Bass Road. For those who are Middle Georgia listeners, they will be awake for him for tomorrow afternoon from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Maplewhite Baptist Church, Maplewhite Memorial Baptist Church, located on Bass Road. Burial will be at the Macon Memorial Park Cemetery on Mercer University Drive. Modena was just 23 years old when he joined the Bibb County Sheriff's Office in 1964 after serving as the Army paratrooper, serving as the Army paratrooper. Former Macon Police Chief Mike Burns was a teenager when he first met Medina, the man in the uniform that helped Burns' father, U.S. Marshal, transfer federal prisoners. Burns and Medina both rose through the ranks to run their departments. Mr. Burns says, through my career and his career, we bump into each other all the time. He was a professional. When it came to law enforcement, he knew what he was doing, unquote. When Burns was chief, he found Medina very easy to work with as sheriff. He said that we had the type of relationship that both of us knew we could call on each other at any time. From the time John Kerry Biddick joined the Marion County Sheriff's Office in 1972, Medina was one of a group of deputies Biddick was close to. In 2001, when Biddick was named president of the National Sheriff's Association, Medina and his wife traveled to Fort Lauderdale for the ceremony and were among the first people to congratulate him. That was Jerry, Biddick said, quote, he liked to see you do good. That was just his personality, unquote. Medina served a total of more than 40 years when he stepped down in 2012 after three terms as sheriff. He says, the adrenaline pumps, and I like that adrenaline. Medina said, reflecting on his career in a Telegraph interview more than 2 years ago. Medina first retired as a major in the sheriff's office in 1994, and 2 years later lost an unsuccessful bid for sheriff against incumbent Robbie Johnson. Medina ran again in 2001. For myself and others at the sheriff's office, he was a mentor and helped guide my career, Sheriff Davis said, for whom Medina supervised for most of Davis's 36 years on the force. He was really committed to the community to work on crime issues in this part of the world he had control over, David said. Superior Court Judge Howard Sims recalled working with Medina when Sims was district attorney. The judge said that Jerry believed in the sheriff's department and he believed in the people of Bibb County. Putnam County Sheriff Howard Sills often talked shop with Medina. And Sills said that Jerry was a consummate police officer, always. He was quick to adopt the technology. He was a great sheriff, quote unquote. Considering Medina's many accomplishments, Sills considers preparation to merge the sheriff's office and police force near the top of the list. Says Jerry did a tremendous job in leading the community through the merger process, Sills said. Davis agreed and called his former boss an innovative leader who was instrumental in preparing the department for consolidation. Medina's legacy includes creating substations across the county and championing the cause of the mentally ill who were incarcerated at the Bibb County Jail. He reserved 200 beds for those with mental health issues in his newly expanded 966-person lockup that opened in 2007. Jones, who was deputized decades ago while EMT to help to take inmates to Central State Hospital, remembers when Medina was the SWAT team commander and talked by phone to a gunman threatening to shoot any deputy who stepped foot on his property. Jones remembers Medina saying, we don't want to hurt you, and I don't want to hurt you. The guy threw his rifles out on the front porch, and that was the end of the standoff. Medina once said that the most difficult part of his job was the funerals. In 2006, Medina lost Sergeant Joseph Whitehead in a shootout during a drug raid. He also buried others killed in accidents or while serving in the military. Says, one of the hardest duties that I've had was one of the things that probably worked me over more than anything is the funerals, Modena said. And I just want to thank Liz Fabian, one of my former coworkers that I used to work with at WGXA, with the story. It's very true. He was a very good guy. He was a firm, but he was a fair person. This guy he shot straight from the hip, and he was a class act, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And he will be missed. He will be definitely missed. I guess that's all I wanted to confirm about it, because I wanted to talk more about Sheriff Jerry Medina and have, you know, more time to talk about him and his life. And I guess in addition to which was going on, I know this sounds like a memorial episode, a broadcast of this marvelous radio show. I guess the reason why I played this song, Don't Sweat the Technique by Eric Mirakin, it's also, it's homage to my writer my writer mentor, Mr. Cliff Chandler. And he was the one who basically got me, who inspired me to write, at least write professionally, write literature. I mean, I've written scripts, screenplays, but Cliff Chandler was the one who basically made me transcend from screenwriting to literature. And if it weren't for him, I probably wouldn't be writing literature right now as we speak. He was the influence for me to write down my stories in literary form, particularly Guerrilla Warfare, which is the short story that I got published a little over a year ago, and you can find it on Amazon.com. I'm very proud of that. And right now I'm still writing the screenplay for the screenplay adaptation of my short story. And I hope that you all will give me support, try to make it come to fruition. Because if it weren't for Cliff Chandler, it probably would never been written. That's the truth. And since I got the mic, I got the floor. I gave him a call to let him know about my short story, but unfortunately, I got a call from his wife, and she told me that that Cliff Chandler passed away six months ago, back in November. So he was passed 6 months ago, and I feel kind of bad I didn't get a chance to tell him about it. At least not in. I didn't get a chance to tell him in person that I got my short story published. But the spirit lives on, and I hope I'll be able to get the funds to make Guerrilla Warfare into a movie, and I will dedicate the film to him, as well as my dad and granddad, Joseph Barrett Sr. and Joseph Barrett Jr. respectively, and also to my late nephew, Landon Joseph Howard. And just a moment of silence for Macon's own Cliff Chandler and former Sheriff, Bibb County Sheriff, Jerry Modena. Probably get into some more news right now. According to the sources from CNN through WJXA, says investigators are learning more about the speeding Amtrak train that derailed in Philadelphia, killing 8 and sending over 200 to the hospital. But the jury is still out on the big question. Is why did the train accelerate as it approached a curve? Did the engineer cause the train to speed up, or was there a mechanical failure? Was there something about the track that caused the crash? Now, Amtrak engineer Brandon Boskin has agreed to be interviewed by the National Transportation Safety Board, and board member Robert Sumwalt is hopeful that Boskin will be able to help answer some key questions. The 32-year-old engineer, who was injured, will be permitted to bring his lawyer. He says that Sunwall said that what I believe is a very good way to interview people is honestly not to ask them questions, to basically give them a figurative blank sheet of paper and ask them what they recall. Mr. Sunwall said back on 2 days ago, says, really, we want to know his account of what he recalls leading to this tragic accident. The investigators are looking at a quote, a good quality video, unquote, that shows the train speeding up in the moments leading up to its derailment. They don't know yet what caused the train to accelerate to more than 100 miles per hour. Someone said that 65 seconds before the end of the recording, the train speed went well above 70 miles an hour and then steadily increased. Someone said it just shows the speed alone. It doesn't tell how the speed got there. There's no recollection of crash. Says Boston Laura told ABC's Good Morning America that his client has absolutely no recollection whatsoever after losing consciousness in Tuesday night's crash. He says he remembers coming into the curb and attempting to reduce speed for an attorney, Robin Goggin said. The last thing he recalls is coming to, looking for his bag, getting his cell phone, turning it on, and calling 911. The initial data show that the train bowed into a curve about 106 miles per hour. That's more than twice the 50-mile-per-hour speed limit for the curve and above the 80-mile-per-hour limit immediately before it. Says Goggin thinks that his client's memories may return as he recovers from a concussion. Boston has 15 staples in his head, stitches in one leg, and the other leg immobilized, according to his lawyer. Now, Goggin insisted his client hadn't been taking or texting above on his phone before he made the 911 call, nor did he have other notable accidents or mishaps. And his lawyer said Boston voluntarily took a blood test, and there was no drinking, no drugs, or no medical conditions, nothing, quote-unquote. Mayor Michael Nutter said the engineer did a, quote, a pretty short interview, and indicated that he didn't want, unquote, to talk more. The mayor noted Boston survived after his engine car tumbled over and over, and that he doesn't have to offer more information right away. So far, 8 people have died. They include Associated Press video software architect Jim Gaines, U.S. Naval Academy midshipman Justin Zimser, and Derek Griffith, a dean of student affairs for City University of New York, Medgar Evers College. Wow. And just to add more, the latest fatality is a person pulled from the wreckage of the first car Thursday morning. City Fire Commissioner Derek Sawyer said a call came around 8 a.m. to bring back our cadaver dog. And after that, we were able to find another passenger in the wreckage. That body was taken to the medical examiner's office. With that discovery, Mayor Noto said that all 243 people thought to have been on the train are accounted for. At least 6 people remain in critical condition, but most of the more than 200 people injured have been or will soon be released from hospitals. Wow, that is something else. That is definitely something else. It's Marlon's radio show gives our thoughts and prayers to the people who suffered in the train crash in Philadelphia. Speaking of losing someone, we lost a great, great guitar legend. B.B. King has died in his Las Vegas home at the age of 89, according to his lawyer confirmed to the Associated Press. Brent Bryson said that the blues legend, famous for his hits as My Lucille, which is named after his guitar, and Sweet Little Angel, passed away peacefully in his sleep on Thursday, May 14th, in his own home, where he was going through hospice care. And I've said this once before, when a person goes to hospice care, it's basically hospital treatment for the terminally ill. And I think a day before my dad passed away, I do remember clearly that the doctors were preparing my dad for hospice care because what he had seemed to be terminal. It was something that was totally irrevocable. And when I hear that hospice care, that means that these people don't have that much long to live. So I really feel bad. I mean, a lot of my friends who were B.B. King fans really wanted him to stay up for a little while longer. And it's been, back to the story. King, who started life as a Mississippi farmhand, sold millions of records worldwide. He played a Gibson guitar, which he named Lucille, and was a mentor to a whole generation of guitarists. Eric Clapton, and U2's Bono. How about that? A winner of 15 Grammy Awards, his last one was awarded in 2009 for his traditional blues album, One Kind of Favor. King was inducted into both the Blues Foundation Hall of Fame and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. once ranked as the third greatest guitarist of all time by Rolling Stone, behind only Jimi Hendrix and Dwayne Allman. Dwayne Allman, King had been hospitalized recently with a diabetes-related illness. Stars from the music world reacted to the sad news of King's passing. Lenny Kravitz took to Twitter with his tribute, "BB, anyone could play 1,000 notes and never say what you said in one," he tweeted. Bon Jovi guitarist Richie Sambora also expressed his sadness and sympathies via social media. He says, "My friend and legend BB King passed. I'm so, so sad. It was so great to me. We've lost the king. My love and prayers to his family," he wrote to via Twitter. And the Beatles' Ringo Starr also reached out to the late legend's family. "Says, God bless B.B. King. Peace and love to his family," he wrote. Until recently, King was performing at least 100 concerts a year, and despite his age, had no thoughts of retirement. In 2009, he joked with the BBC, "says, I keep working because I can't afford not to." Wow. And he was just some days, just some months shy of his 90th birthday. That's something when you do have something that you love, it's not even considered work. You know what I mean? When you do something so well, it's almost like a calling, so to speak. Almost like a calling. Oh, my goodness. So many things to talk about. So many things. I do want to talk about, before we leave, though, I want to talk about Deflategate. Unfortunately, it doesn't... I don't have enough time to talk about it, but I will say something that's going on right now as we speak is that the Tubman Museum is opening up today, the grand opening. We waited years and years for the new grand opening of the Tubman Museum. It's opening today as a grand opening for it. It had its grand opening earlier this morning. Yeah. Yes. Even though Saturday's grand opening of the Tubman Museum will be a grand opening, it will shut down some streets in Macon. The Bibb County Sheriff's Office said at 8 a.m. the Cherry Street Plaza from MLK to 5th Street will be blocked and closed through Sunday night at 9 p.m. During the parade, for the Saturday morning parade that just passed, there will be a rolling escort with intersections temporarily blocked. The parade will be at 11 a.m. Saturday morning. The parade will leave the museum on Walnut Street to MLK Boulevard, turning on Cherry Street Plaza, where it will end. The parade route will reopen as it passes through the intersections. Just wanted to let you all know about that for all of our Middle Georgia listeners. Also, some other news that I want to say congratulations to the Atlanta Hawks. Thank you, the Atlanta Hawks, for making it to the East Conference Finals. This is the very first time that they have done it in 45 years. Congratulations to you guys. Congratulations. Wizards 94-91 by a buzzer beater that didn't quite make the clock. Even though the guy hit the shot, it was after the clock. It was after the clock hit zero. It would have been, if it was a half a second or a second earlier, it probably would have been a tie game. It would have been, went to overtime. However, unfortunately, the clock beat them, and unfortunately, they got eliminated at home. So the Atlanta Hawks going to their first Eastern Conference Finals since 1970, 45 years, first time in 45 years. They're going to be competing against LeBron James and his Cleveland Cavaliers. Let's see which one is going to make it to the NBA Finals between the Houston Rockets, whoever plays against the Houston Rockets versus the Clippers, and who plays against, well, we know, also the Golden State Warriors. They're going to their very first Western Conference Finals, first time since 1976. So they just beat the Grizzlies. The Warriors, Golden State Warriors, has beat the Grizzlies. Oakland's own Golden State Warriors. We're going to be playing whoever wins in Game 7 tomorrow, tomorrow afternoon at 3:30 between the L.A. Clippers and the Houston Rockets, which will be Game 7 tomorrow afternoon at 3:30 on ABC, So check it out. Check it out tomorrow afternoon if you have the chance. And the Hawks are going to be playing Game 1 against the Cavaliers May 20th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time, Eastern Time, on ESPN or ABC, whichever, I guess, whichever is on. They're, well, Disney owns both of them, ABC and ESPN, so we will find out. I'll probably let you know tomorrow which channel will it be on. Will it be on ESPN or will it be on ABC? But Game 1 of the Eastern Finals Championship, Eastern Finals Conference game, May 20th would be on a Wednesday. So Game 1, the Hawks versus the Cavaliers, Josh Smith versus King James and the Cavs, Wednesday night at May 20th, 8:30 p.m. Definitely check your local listings, see if you'll be getting it in your area, your neck of the woods. That's pretty much all I have for right now going on the It's Marvelous Radio Show. Be sure to check us out every Friday afternoon at 5 p.m., every Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m., and Sunday afternoons at 3 p.m., unless given time for advance, unless there's a special time. One other thing I wanted to talk about, also, that Queen Latifah, Grammy Award winner and Oscar-nominated singing actress, singer-slash-actress Queen Latifah, will be starring in an HBO biopic, an HBO movie based on jazz legend Bessie Smith called Bessie, and it's going to air tonight at 8 p.m. on HBO. So definitely check that out. Check your premium cable provider and or satellite provider, DirecTV, Dish TV, or whoever, and see what time Bessie, the HBO biopic starring Queen Latifah, will be playing in your area. Well, that's all I have right now for this Marvelous Radio Show. Stay tuned to check us out every weekend. We're part of the biggest three-day weekend online. This is the Morning, This is the biggest three-day weekend online. This is the It's Marvelous Radio Show. We're going to close the show with B.B. King's greatest hit, The Thrill Is Gone. And this was a live performance back in 1971. I hope you enjoy it. Have a marvelous Saturday, everybody, and take care.
Industry has begun piling honors on B.B. King with Grammy Awards and special tributes. To most of us, this is a long overdue recognition of one of the truly great blues artists of our time, which we're very honored to have him with us on our show tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, the inimitable Mr. B.B. King.
Oh, by the way, the person who introduced him was Kenny Rogers.
Oh, still in our world.
Marvelous Radio Show. Have a marvelous Saturday, everyone, and take care.